16, Revelation 16. Chapter 15, we go through Revelation fourth time, and I had to kind of nail that thing down in my own mind because I kept going back three times, four times. I kept going back and forth, but it is four times. And Revelation 15, it's just like the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in Revelation 15, it starts the fourth time. And then it's almost like a break. God takes a break in chapter 17, 18, and tells you what he's going to do to Rome. And he destroys Rome. And we stopped, I think, verse 8. It says, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now, some folks probably think the fire today in tomorrow is going to be hot, you know. But this is normal weather down south. And just normal, you go down south, and my wife and I was in Florida in April. Man, it was like 90-some degrees every day in Florida and with the humidity. But can you imagine that? I mean, God pouring out, and scorching men with fire. Men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial. You think about this, and the Bible says one day the Lord's going to be a new heaven, new earth. He's going to make everything brand new. Everything's brand new. In the millennium, he's just going to make the earth new, make it over. But then he's going to make, in eternity, he's going to be a brand new heaven and earth. And then verse 10, it says, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Now, y'all underline that in your Bible. The seat of the beast. Where's the seat of the beast? He has a seat. And we saw that in Revelation chapter 2. Go back to Revelation 2. The synagogue of Satan. And in Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 9. He said, I know thy works and tribulation, poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And then look down at verse 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's what? Seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days, and so on, where Satan dwelleth, martyr who is slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. So that's talking about Rome, and where Satan's seat is. The Catholic Church, I said this last time, I've said it every time, but the Catholic Church, they disregard the book of Revelation. They say the book of Revelation is past tense. And we're premillennial. We believe in the premillennial rapture of Jesus Christ. We believe the Lord's going to come back before tribulation and all that. But there's a lot of churches teach postmillennial. They believe in we're going to go through the tribulation and all that. We got to bring in the kingdom, all millennials, and they believe all that stuff. That's crazy. But back to verse 10 of Revelation 16. And it says, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And same with what God did to Egypt, what he did there. Everything the Lord did in Egypt, he's redoing it again. And it says, and blasphemed the name of the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So their sores, it says. And I believe this in Revelation 13, the leopard come up out of the sea, and he puts a mark on every man, and I believe that mark will turn into leprosy. And that thing, it says, and sores, and repented not of their deeds. And in the verse 12, I'm trying to get through chapter 16 tonight. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Now, you think about the Euphrates River is mentioned many times throughout your Bible. It's in the Garden of Eden. The Euphrates River was in the Garden of Eden. There's four rivers. And I think my daughter was telling me the other day, she said, you can go on the satellite search, and they'll show you down, you know, from the satellite, they'll show you the Euphrates, and the Bible talks about there's four rivers that went through the garden, and Euphrates River is one of them. And you can see the other two, they're dry riverbeds, they're done away with, but there's two of them there. And Euphrates River is mentioned many times, and you'll find it, the Jordan River mentioned throughout your Bible. It says, the sixth angel poured out his vials upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. So the kings of the east are going to come across. And now here's the ungodly trinity of Satan himself. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. And I believe the Roman Catholic priest is the, or the Pope is the false prophet. The dragon is the devil himself. The beast is the Antichrist. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles. The Bible, the King James Bible never says demons. It says devils. It says devils. And they are the spirit of devils working miracles. Whenever the charismatics, they talk about, oh, you know, the devil can't do miracles. Oh, yes, he can. When Judas was with Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ sent out the two by two by two. Judas was one of them. And he was doing miracles just like everybody else. And Jesus called him the son of perdition. He was the devil himself, or the son of the devil. And he was doing miracles. And the devil can do miracles. And the Bible says the Antichrist is going to call fire down out of heaven and all that stuff. So whenever these folks talk about miracles, I mean, I know God can do miracles. There's no doubt in my mind. I've seen God do miracles. But I'll tell you, but I'm not trusting in all those things. I'm trusting in the Lord, amen, and the Word of God. You better trust in the Lord of God, Word of God, rather than in just in miracles. And I've seen them, but I know God, I trust his Word. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather together to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. God's looking forward to this battle. And this is called the battle of the day, great day of God Almighty. And in the book of Revelation, you'll go through the tribulation, or you go through the Armageddon four times. And right in chapter 19, go to 19. And this is, you got 17, 18 on this fourth time. And then go to chapter 19 and look at, look at verse 17. And you're going through Armageddon, Armageddon, Armageddon. And it gives you a different insight every time. Of every time you go through it, it gives you a different view of it. And I saw angels standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, Revelation 19, 17, and with a loud voice saying, to all the fowls of that fly in the midst of heaven, come gather yourself together unto the great, the supper of the great God. You got a great battle. You got a great supper. And it says that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And it says, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. They have all the satellites. They got all that stuff, and they can look into space. Guess what? They're going to look into outer space, and they're going to see Jesus Christ coming on a white horse. And they're going to see all of us with him, right behind him. And they're going to prepare to come down. The Bible says he's going to come up the King's Highway that's coming up through Edom. He's going to come down, and he's going to come into and then go through the Eastern Gate, and he's going to kick the gate right open. The gate, is, they say, it's concreted up. The Arabs knew that the Bible talked about the Lord coming through the Eastern Gate. When Jesus Christ was on this planet, he walked through the Eastern Gate. And then around when the Turks got control of Palestine, they blocked that thing up, and they concreted the thing. And I think it's, somebody said it's 16 feet deep. And they put a graveyard right outside the Eastern Gate of Arabs, all Muslim. So it's against the law. It's sacrilege to walk through there, especially being a Jew. So I was just reading about in 18 something, they had a Zionist movement, and they were looking to try to get Jerusalem. They were trying to get Jerusalem back. 1922, the British mandate, or the, actually 1917, the British mandate started, and then 1922, the Parliament, they voted to give the Jews Palestine. When that happened, the Arabs went crazy. And they always talk about, you know, give them land for peace, land for peace. It never works. They wanted all, they want the Jews out of there. That's all there is to it. They don't want the Jews to have nothing. And all the way up 1948, they were, Russia, before 1948, Russia was supplying arms before Russia came into communism. Russia was supplying arms for Israel because they had the czars there. And before the Communist Party took over, when what's his name? Actually, it was before that, 1937. And then Russia fell into communism with Stalin. So 1930, somewhere in there. But Russia was supplying Israel with arms and stuff to prepare. So, and then when that happened, then Russia turned against them and went with the Arabs because of the oil. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 16, look at verse 16. And he gathered them together unto a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And look at verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Now, this thing's talking about in the tribulation period is going to be a faith works kind of salvation. Now, you and I are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. You're not saved by works. Now, we work. We keep a testimony for Jesus Christ, but we're not saved by works. In the tribulation, it's going to be a works salvation by faith, faith and works. And James, the book of James says, can faith alone save you? And Martin Luther hated the book of James because the Catholics always say, well, you got to have faith, but you got to do works too. And the Bible will break you. You can break your neck in the Bible if you don't know it rightly dividing it. In the book of James, it tells you, it says to the 12 tribes of Israel. So that works, faith thing will start back up. It'll start back up in the tribulation period. So these folks that look at Matthew 24, look at this. The people break their neck in this thing, and they can't rightly divide their Bible. And when they don't rightly divide their Bible, they get it all messed up. And they think that I'll give you, for instance, John chapter 3, when Jesus said, except a man be born again and cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, and he said, that which is born of water is, and then that which is born of the Spirit. And so you got the Church of Christ that teaches baptismal regeneration. You've got the Catholic Church teaches baptismal regeneration. You have to baptize your baby when it's born or when it's of age. So they start baptizing babies. It's called baptismal regeneration, wash away the original sin. That's a lie. John chapter 3, Jesus talking about a physical birth and then a spiritual birth. I went out to talk to a guy one time. He was in the Pentecostal church. He was in this church, and then he went to Pentecostal church. It was because some woman over there he was after. And I showed him, and John, he said, well, you got to be baptized to get to heaven. I said, no, you don't. I said, look what Paul said. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I said, we baptize people. He said, you're a Baptist. You baptize people. I said, we baptize people after they're saved, not to wash away their sin, but to show their belief in what they believe in Jesus Christ, and that it's a type. It's a type. And it's a obedience. And the Bible talks about obedience. Jesus said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so it's a obedience step. It's not a salvation step. So this guy, he started saying, well, look at John chapter 3, what Jesus said. And I said, well, look at it. Yeah, look at it. The Bible's a self-interpreter. It interprets itself right in the passage. So when I showed it to him, he went, well, no, I still believe you got to be baptized to get to heaven. I said, you can believe all you want. You're twisting the Word of God. Amen. You don't twist the Word of God to make it fit what you want to believe. Look in Matthew chapter, what did I say? Matthew 24. So we believe in baptism, but not for salvation. Now, the Jews, when there's seven baptisms in your Bible, and we've gone through them before. But look at Matthew chapter 24, and look at verse 13. And it says, and he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. So it's saying, he that endure the end, if you want to be saved, you got to endure the end. I don't have to endure the end of my life to be walking with the Lord. I mean, there's a lot of people backslide, don't live for God, they end up dying. And you say, did they go to heaven? Yes. Look in John chapter 3 now. Look in John 3. Look at, it's a self-interpreter. Self-interpreter. And the Church of Christ and Catholic Church and Presbyterian, the Episcopalian, and a bunch of them teach this water baptism is a part of your salvation, which is not. So John chapter 3. There, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that cometh from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Jesus didn't waste no time. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, and cannot see the kingdom of God. And you got people saying, well, I was born again. I said, how were you born again? And when somebody says, I'm born again, I'll say, how? How? You got this day. These days, you better ask people, how? People say, I'm saved. I said, well, tell me how you got saved. I want to know how you got saved. If you're trusting and you saw a miracle, or you saw a light, or you saw something, you know, that's not salvation. And you might have ate too much pizza the night before or something. And Jesus answered and said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then verse 6, he explains it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, physical birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, spiritual birth. Simple. But people, they mislead, misguide,
right,
take that away. Jesus told him, said, physical birth, spiritual birth. Over in Revelation says, if a man's not born twice, he dies twice. You're not born again, you die twice. So Revelation chapter 20 tells you that. Let's go back to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. I like this part. I like where God, then God's, while he's judging this whole thing, God's judging Israel, but he's judging the whole world. It's called Daniel's 70th week. God's judging Israel, and he's judging the whole world, but then he comes down and he fights for Israel. And the Bible says the seventh angel poured out, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thundering, lightnings. Paul said, I was called up to the third heaven. Second Corinthians 12. He said, I heard unspeakable things that a man shouldn't utter. The Lord's talking. The old saying is, when I was a kid, when it started lightning and thunder, I'd run hide up under the bed. My mother said, God's talking. And when Jesus Christ spoke to Paul, everybody heard thundering, but Paul heard his name. When it thunders, people used to make up all kinds of stuff. God's up there bowling, all kinds of stuff. You've heard that. But thunder, the Lord speaks through thunder. And there came a great voice in the temple of heaven from the throne, verse 17, saying, it is done. And there were voices, thundering, lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great, everything is great. Great day of God, the great, feast. It's going to be some great. And then it says, so great, the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And look at here, great Babylon came into remembrance before God. Babylon. You find Babylon. You know why Rome is called Babylon? Because it's ancient religion. And what the Babylonians, what they believed and what they stood for, how they worshipped, is what Rome has adopted. And it's called Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So you got nuns. God calls it, you have nuns that they make a vow to the church. You have priests that make a vow to the church. When they make their vows to the church, it's not to God, but to the church. And when they make their vows, whatever the church has need of, if they can provide it, they provide it. So that's why God calls them a great whore. The nuns are spiritual or physical whores. Don't go up and say, you bunch of whores, I had a friend of mine who got saved, who was Italian. Every time he used to walk by one, he'd go, whore, whore. And I had to grab him and say, shut up, man. But they make a vow to the church, and they make a vow. So whatever, if the priest has a need, my dad told me this story that he said when he was a young man in Washington, D.C., he's had a priest friend. He said whenever they got drinking together, smoking cigars together and everything, the priest said, hey, you want a woman? And he said, yeah. He said, put this outfit on. And he said he'd go over to the nunnery, and he's picked any woman, any nun he wanted. And I'd say, my dad, I said, you're lying. You're lying. He said, I'm not lying. And I thought he was lying until after I got reading the Bible. It's true. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of the wine of the furies of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. I think I was reading somewhere this talent about 100 pounds, 50 to 100 pounds. Can you imagine hail coming out of the sky? Can you imagine what that would do? You can put where they have the new solar panels up on the roof. The hail's going to knock holes right through buildings and everything else. And it says every stone, it's a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And then he goes in chapter 17, and then he goes dealing with Babylon. He takes a break there, and he goes right to Rome, and he's telling you about what he's going to do to Rome. And look at it. How do you know it's Rome? We know it by verse 9. They say all roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to Rome, religiously. And that's why most churches, when you go to them now, they remind you of the Roman Catholic Church. They remind you of that. So when you go in there, it's just like the Catholic Church. And the Bible tells you there's only one place in the world, that sits on one city, sits on seven mountains. One place in the world. That's why they don't like the book of Revelation. Verse 9, here's the mind which have wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman, what? Sitteth. And Satan's seat is there. So you got the unholy trinity. You got the beast. You got the dragon. You got the false prophet. They all there. And God's going to destroy that place. He's going to destroy it. The Vatican. And they got cardinals. They always say birds of a feather flock together. Got all them cardinals and all them geese and all that other junk. Now look at this. Revelation 17. Well, I'm going to read the first two verses. Look what God calls it. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talk with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The many waters is people, nations. The Catholic Church believes the Pope should have rule of the world in the place of Jesus Christ. With whom, look what it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed what? Spiritual fornication, and also physical. Why homosexuals are in the Catholic Church and they're messing with little boys. I've read somewhere the other day where the Roman Catholic Church around the world now has put out billions of dollars to pay off all the sex charges and everything against them. Billions of messing with children. I told you all this story about Betty Stocker told me about a guy down in Texas A&M where she works. And the guy, she's witnessing the guy, and he said, I'll never go to church. There ain't no God let something like that happen. Where the priest, every Sunday, the kids would go to the priest quarters, and the little girls and little boys, and they would rape them and sodomize them. And he said they were dragging him down the hallway, and the little girl, about 9 years old, 10 years old, was in the room where a priest was raping her. And the little girl, when he walked by, she yelled, help me. She's screaming. She wouldn't stop screaming. And he ran out the back door and ran to the woods, and they tried to catch him. They couldn't catch him. He said he sat out there in the woods hiding, and about 30 minutes later, they brought that little girl. He didn't hear the girl screaming no more. He brought that little girl out and laid her on the back grass. They called the archbishop. He came, and they called the chief police, which were Catholic, and they just said somebody came by and killed that child where the priest did it. He said he made a vow that he was going to kill them priests. When he grew up, he was going to kill them all. He was telling Betty, took me and brother Jimmy Chandler in the room to tell us about it, and she's crying, telling us because this guy was so hard against God. The Catholic Church and religion has made people hard against God. Christians, the way they live, has made people hard against God. It says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made themselves drunk with the wine of her fornication. Check it out. So, religion, I always tell people, we're not about religion. We're about wanting to see people saved. Yeah. Yeah. They start telling me how this and that, this religion, I said, Jesus Christ didn't do it to you. Religion. Now, a lot of religions start out good. They'll start out for the right reason, not Roman Catholic Church, but they'll start out with a man, and then a movement, and then it becomes a machine, and then it becomes a a memorial and then a monument. And it's, but what we have, salvation, is built upon somebody still living. He's alive. He'll never die.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll stop right there. Brother Ken, you want to take a prayer request?